So in 2018, our goal was to bring us closer to God through personal spiritual disciplines, things like Bible study, prayer, and worship. In 2019, our goal was for us to grow closer to each other as a church family through discipleship, things like serving, attending regularly, being part of a small group family, attending an outreach. So God has really spent the last few years preparing us for where we are today. And as we enter 2020, we have our course built. We've laid that solid foundation. We're in a good place spiritually, both as individuals and as a church. And now it is time for us to go out and engage this community. So our goal is to engage 2020. In week two, we talked about, okay, well, what exactly does engage mean? Well, first we said that engage is going to mean personal, that we try to do this one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three, but it's not just, hey, I sent out a Facebook message, I covered 2,000 people, I'm good. We want it to be personal because personal is the best way that people respond. Second, it has to be someone who doesn't go to Genesis Point. We want to be able to reach out. This is not just a reaching in thing. We want to go love and care for this community. And by the way, if you're a snowboarder, that also means somebody who doesn't go to your church in Florida or wherever it is that you happen to go. So this is really reaching out wherever you happen to be placed. We give some examples of exactly how we plan on engaging. This is not all inclusive, just kind of gives you a little bit of an idea. You can invite someone. Invite someone to church. You can invite them to your small group. You could invite them to an outreach. You could share your story with someone. Either the story of how God changed your life, how you got saved, or maybe just the story about how God has influenced your life since you've been saved. You could pray with someone. Not pray for them, but when they have something that's concerning them, just say, hey, would you mind if I take a minute and I pray with you? And you can discuss your faith. This is going to be a great couple of weeks to be able to do something like that, because how many people are going to ask you, hey, how was your Christmas? And you're going to be able to say, it was really fun. Our church did a choose-your-own-adventure service. Or it was really fun. We went to Christmas Eve service and we all played with lightsabers. Like, this is a great thing, because they're going to be like, wait, say what again? Now come back on how that works. This is going to be a great opportunity for you. Then in week three, last week, we talked about how the church will help you find opportunities to engage. So through some big Sunday engage events, through engaging sermon series, through some engaging outreaches. But the biggest one was that we have spent the last 2 years equipping you spiritually. We really believe, our leadership, our elders believe, you guys are ready. You are ready, just go for it. So when you see an opportunity to engage someone, to reach out, something that's specific to you, man, just go out and do it. In a week or so, we'll discuss some of the things you guys wrote in this last week. There are some really cool ideas that you wrote as, I'm looking at myself, this is a great place where I can go and do an outreach. And if you missed any of those weeks, I would highly encourage you to check out our website, genesisboyne.com, so you can catch up on the sermons. Because, I mean, I just did 3 sermons worth in about 3 minutes. So it'll give you a chance to really see how you can be involved with our goal to engage 2020. But a few of you guys have noticed that something's been missing from this series. Something we haven't been covering over the past 3 weeks that's really important, and it happens every December. We haven't really covered it a lot. Yeah, Christmas. We haven't really done a lot about Christmas. So today, what I want to do is I want to take a bit of a different approach to our Christmas sermon. Out of curiosity, how many of you guys have ever done a choose-your-own-adventure book or game before? Okay, yep, so right in that demographic, all of us who were kind of around in the 80s, we understand that. Okay, cool. How many, like, if you haven't done something like this before, a choose-your-own-adventure book or game is a book where the reader makes a choice. They come to a point, they make a choice, and that choice determines the book's actions or the plot's outcome. So you're reading the book, and the book gets to a point where you're like, well, do I want to go into the dungeon? Do I want to go into the creepy dungeon, or do I want to go upstairs into the observatory? And then you flip to that page, and then you kind of move forward throughout the book. So does everybody kind of get the concept here? Okay, cool. So what we're going to try this week is a choose your own adventure church service. So I know it's a little bit scary. Instead of me choosing where the service goes, I've got point one and point two and point three, and the band's got their songs. We're actually going to let you guys lead based on your choices. So here's how this is going to work. I'm going to ask you some questions, and the answers to those questions will determine where the course of the sermon and the worship goes. So let's just go ahead and get started on this. The question that kind of came to your minds when we were doing Engage 2020 is, why aren't we celebrating Christmas? To which I then started thinking, okay, well, why exactly do we celebrate Christmas? But that was probably a little bit too easy. We're at church over after all. I mean, I think we kind of all know the base level answer to this. Well, it's Jesus' birthday. That's when Jesus was born. However, I was thinking about it a little bit further. That doesn't really answer the question. It more kind of just kicks the ball further down the field. So here is going to be your first question. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? Like, why does, we were just singing Joy to the World, why does heaven and nature sing? What does Jesus' birth mean or signify in our lives? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a minute to think about that. And I want you to really think through this thoroughly. Don't just be like, oh, hey, cool, quick pat Christian answer, know this one, boom, boom, boom. Like, let your answer lead you into some questions like, why? What does your answer mean? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a minute to think about this. And then on your paper, what I want you to do is I want you to write down a one or two sentence summary of your answer. So like not writing a dissertation here. Try to get your thoughts together, combine them into a one or two sentence summary of your answer. Okay, so here's some of the answers that we wrote. Gail, get me the rest of them. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? To recognize God's greatest gift to us is his son. That Jesus was sent to save us was the greatest gift. It's a marker of remembrance so we don't forget and we show our adoration. God's announcement of the Messiah coming into the world for fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. He signifies the birth of our salvation. I'm going to get new glasses this week. I really wish I would have got them last week. Okay. It was the fulfillment of prophecy that God brought about God's plan to redeem us from sin because he loves us so much. The birth of Jesus, we celebrate the gift of our Savior that let us have a relationship with God. He keeps his promises. He lived to love and serve others, and we should live like that. He became the flesh for us. He brings hope and salvation and freedom. He is the ultimate gift. Okay, so what I'm seeing here is, Andrew, we're going to go with option number one, please. This seems like the majority of the answers revolved around, it's because Jesus is important. He came, he fulfilled prophecy. He is God. I mean, virgin birth and all. God coming to us in the flesh. So we should celebrate his coming. And Philippians 2, 6, and 7 says it this way, that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. That's great. So we're all on the same basic page to start. Why do we celebrate Jesus' birth? It's because he's God. It's because he gave up everything to come to us, to be placed in a manger. So in that case, let's all stand. Guys, could you play the song, Away in a Manger?
Sleep.
So we decided that we celebrate Christmas because Jesus is important. It's God who came to us. But that immediately leads us to another question. Why do we celebrate the fact that God came to us? What does it matter? What does it signify? What does it mean? And again, you probably have a pat Christian answer to this, but try to push past it a little bit. Really think about this deeper. Like, why would we still celebrate that? I mean, what does it matter that God came to us 2,000 years ago? So I'm going to give you guys a minute to write on your individual papers a 1-2 sentence answer that answers, why do we celebrate the fact that God came to us? Why do we celebrate the fact that God came to us? So let's kind of hear where you guys are going with this. He came down to be the sacrifice lamb so that he could be the sacrifice that reconciles us to him once and for all. It's a reminder that we were given an undeserved gift with the promise of eternal life with God. It's a good reminder that God is still here with us to show us how to let us have a relationship with God. The Savior has come. The promise has become human. The Word became flesh. It's because he loves us and he cares about us eternal, cares about our eternal destiny. His great love was a sacrifice, death on a cross. What other person or God would do that? So let's go with option number 5, Andrew. Because it sounds like the majority of you guys are based around the answer that later Jesus is going to grow up. And he's going to sacrifice his life on the cross for our sins. Then he's going to be resurrected 3 days later. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says it this way. That Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried. He was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. Now Romans 6:4-7. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also have new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised alive, just as Christ was. We know that our old sinful selves, they were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. I know, that is a great verse. I don't know why I don't think about that verse more often. That was super exciting. I love this verse. Christ came to die for our sins, to give us eternal life in a relationship with him. And these are the things we tend to discuss around another big Christian holiday. We usually discuss them at Easter. But the idea of Christ's sacrifice is also mentioned in a Christmas song. You guys will catch a little hint here. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild. Why? Because through Jesus, God and sinner are reconciled. Other verses say light and life to all he brings. That Christ was risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. He gave up heaven for us. He was born that man no more may die. He was born to raise the sons of earth. He was born to give us second birth. Let's all stand together and celebrate through Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thank you. want to give a special thanks both to our media people and our band, because it's a little easier for me. It's all in the I just have to go up and down. They've got a they're playing a lot around. They're playing around a lot here. So just want to thank you guys for being flexible with this entire concept. So we decided Christ being born was ultimately important because he's God who came to die for our sins and give us eternal life, which takes us a little bit further down the path. We've made some choices. It brings us to our third and fourth question. Christ being God, he comes down to us. He dies on a cross for our sins. He defeats death, and he is resurrected. But how does that affect us today? How does Christ's sacrifice, how does his death and resurrection affect us today? Because again, remember, it's been 2,000 years now. And further, question number four, how did that message get to us today? So again, I'm going to give you guys a few minutes. Write your questions, one or two sentences for question three, one or two sentences for question four. Going to give you guys a couple of minutes to go for that. So how does Christ's death and resurrection affect us today? Question number three. Because the forgiveness of sins, it's grace. That his sacrificial love defeated death for all people in all time. That means us. God's message of hope and the triumph over sin. He gives us hope, grace, eternal life, freedom, relationship, and guidance. He loves us. He cares about us. And he cares about our eternal destiny. It affects how we live. It's our hope in the future with him. I would say that would be option number 10, Andrew. Your answers say that it matters because that offer of salvation, Christ's sacrifice, is still relevant. It's relevant for us today. 1 Peter 3:18 says it this way, that Christ suffered once for our sins for all time. So Jesus died for the sins of those in his time, for us 2,000 later, and for people 2,000 years from now. Now, as for how the question of how the message of Christ's sacrifice got to us today, here's what we said. Andrew, jump to question number four. All right, so let's look at some answers here. Scripture has been passed on through the disciples, and we deliver it through the church. We are something. We are something, new life, free of sins, spread by the gospel and the apostles. Through family, through church, through generations of faithful people, through the Word, through the Bible. Through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through people carrying his Word forward. Jesus instructed us to teach all nations the Great Commission. Through people sharing his Word, through preaching and teaching. I'm going to go with option 15, Andrew. The Bible, the church, someone told us. However, even with the Bible, that is still someone telling us. They're just telling us in written form. So one of the things I was really thinking about with this particular option is how wild of a story it is. Like, that 2,000 years, a message from Jesus' lips 2,000 years ago has reached our ears today. Because it all started with that Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. So it got to us because someone shared with us. A friend, a parent, the Bible, a teacher, a pastor, a neighbor. But it got to them because someone shared it with them. And someone shared it with them, and them, and them, on and 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 on, back to Jesus. It came from the original disciples who were commissioned by Jesus. Like, have you ever really thought about that? I mean, that is such a wild thought, that we are here today as direct descendants of the disciples who heard the Great Commission from Jesus. That somehow, some way, through persecution, through the rise and fall of multiple empires, through the Dark Ages, through multiple languages, through the space of over 700,000 days, the gospel message made it to us. So we're here today because somebody told us. Someone engaged us with the gospel. And I would ask another question, but I think it was kind of obvious in the answers here. that if someone told us, they gave us the knowledge of Christ, they brought us here today, what are we then supposed to do with the message that we've been given? We're supposed to go tell it. We're supposed to engage with the lost with the gospel. That was the disciples' commission then, and that's our mission today. So thus far, here are the choices that you've chosen for your Choose Your Own Adventure Christmas service. Answering the question, why do we celebrate Christmas? We celebrate Christmas because that's when Christ was born. But Christ was born so that he could die. And Christ died so that we could be saved. And we were saved so that we could be with him forever in a relationship. And if we can be with him forever, then it is our commission as disciples to go and tell others how they can be with him forever, just as we were once told. Which means to kind of try to boil this down as much as possible. Christ was born so that we can know God and we can make him known. That's what Christmas is all about. And therefore, looking at this in hindsight, we can realize that Engage 2020 may be the most Christmassy series that we could do. We are fulfilling the mission that God had in sending Christ to us on Christmas. Andrew, I'm going to jump to option number 30. It's because we have to be serious about engaging people with the gospel. We have to be serious about sharing, about being a light for those who need to hear of Christ's love. Because we are called, we are commissioned to go and tell it. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says it this way. Preaching the good news is not something we get to boast about. No. We are compelled to go and do it. And woe to us if we do not go out and preach this gospel. And that brings us back to where we began. You guys have led the direction of the service through a lot of different options, and that's where we ended up. Why do we celebrate Christmas? It's Jesus' birth, and he's important. But we can't stop there. We can't stop with the cute baby in the manger. We can't stop with the shepherds and with the wise men. We have to keep going to his crucifixion for our sins, to his resurrection defeating death so that we can have salvation, to his commission to the disciples to engage us, and to our commission to go and engage this world. Because if we merely stop at a baby in a manger, we lose the answer to why do we celebrate Christmas. And if we lose that answer, if we don't engage this world with the message that Jesus came and he sacrificed his life to deliver, what you've told me today is, if we lose that answer, then we've just lost the true meaning of why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray.